appreciate everybody coming and that. If you would, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, and then from there we're going to go over to John chapter 4. Our homework Sunday night was John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and of course John at chapter 8 have always been very big to me. But I just want to read a few verses for all of us to glean on. And I do appreciate you praying for Charlie. A lot of you don't know, but I got hooked up with Charlie when he was 10. And him and two other boys and mentored them. And lo and behold, a few weeks ago, we were reunited. I hadn't seen him since those days. And you know, he's really enjoyed being here and coming. And I can tell you firsthand that we have a lot of responsibility when people come and visit us. Because people come and visit us who may have had some really rough circumstances in other churches with Christianity, with whatever's going on. People may be misled due to knothead Christians that say and do things in a very wrong way, which we can't control. The bottom line is what we can control is once they do get here, how we interact and how we choose to treat them. And so when somebody comes in who, you know, maybe been roughed around a little or whatever the circumstance are is, the main thing is not to try to figure out what you need to do, what you have to do. The main thing to do is just rely on the Holy Spirit of God and God, and He'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
Because I've noticed, and I've done it, where you put your foot in your mouth, you're thinking, why did I say that? So let's read these famous verses, and these are good verses to put on your mirror as maybe you're getting ready for work in the morning or whatever. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and who? He shall direct thy paths." You can't go wrong with that, can you? So turn with me over to John chapter 4, and we'll get started tonight. And again, I just really appreciate you all supporting me with the with Jeff being gone and Pastor being gone, and I just really do. And you know, I really appreciate you thinking about me for Chris. You know, Chris, and I'll just be very frank, because you know, and you know, Chris's family needs to come, and Chris has been out for a long time, and he's a great guy. He's a very brave forestry ranger. He's been in life and death situations. He's lost friends in fire circumstances, but he probably shouldn't have lived yesterday, and that saw stopped on his bum. And the surgery that they're going to do tomorrow is going to make or break whether or not he ever uses that hand again. He's notorious, like we all are, at beating ourselves up. He cried to me tonight a little bit. He's not the crying type, and said, you know, it's my fault. And see, that's that stinking isolation, Cody. That isolation that Vicky made a comment about Sunday. That lying isolation that gets you off track, that can destroy your worth to be able to being used by the Holy Spirit. Because if you believe those isolated thoughts that are shot to us, those delusional, deceptive, lying thoughts, you will be no good to yourself, you'll be no good to God, and you'll be no good being used as a conduit of energy by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you can't be. You're too tied up emotionally and mentally on the wrong focus. Now, we all know what that's like, but as adults in Jesus Christ, we don't have the luxury to remain in that position. You have to stink and get up off the ground, wipe yourself off, clean yourself up, and go back to work. And it's not meant to be harsh, it's just real life as being an adult, right? So as we start reading in John chapter 4 and we go over things, you know, please remember one thing as no tape goes up tonight. You can't take God. Isn't it funny? You're not going to duct tape my Savior. You can't put a boundary or duct tape Him. And we see it in this chapter, where issues of bigotry and other things are dealt with and thrown out there as a means of camouflage. And we have to understand as we glean from this, speaking about salvation for VBS, speaking about soul winning, which we all need to do, we have to learn how to discern when camouflage and pollution comes our way by people who are just running from God. That's all they're doing. Even kids. I don't want to hear that. Whatever it is. But you can't put tape on God. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it great that you can't do that? But let's start reading in chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." Isn't it amazing how he loves humanity? How he is the orchestrator, the author, and the finisher of all faith. That he's the one that came looking for us, just like he came looking for this lady.
That's right.
And people would say, you know, why are you going that way? Why are you visiting that person?
That's right.
Why are you being kind to that person in VBS? They come every year and all they do is eat our food. It could be anything.
Right.
The bottom line is aren't you glad that he must needs go?
Amen.
"Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, nearer to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Stop. I'm strung out. I've been running from God. I know God's judgment. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve His grace. I don't deserve communion with God. I don't deserve to have a good life because of all the isolation that I've fed myself with and everything that I've filled my head with. I don't believe that I'm worth anything. Now I'm going to tell you something right now. That isolated thought puts a lot of people in hell.
Yes, sir.
It does. And it's just a sad tragedy because you all know it as well as I do. That's why we have to be a praying church.
Amen.
We don't pray for practice. We pray for power.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Right? And the bottom line is we have to understand that there is a realm in our community, there is a realm of kids that are going to come and all that, depending on what they've been told their whole lives. They're not going to feel like they're worth loving.
All right, man. Right.
And we may not be able to get them to understand that, but that's where God comes in. He's the needs to God. He's the needs to God. He's the one that you go to say, God, I need your help. This kid is having it rough. And cutting the kid loose to the Lord. Maybe God will speak to your heart privately and you'll end up fasting a few days a week for his family and no one will ever know, like it's supposed to actually be.
Right.
But the bottom line is he's the needs to God. And I'm telling you right now, the thing that frustrates me is especially when we deal with people that have a very rough background, whatever it is, it's hard for people to love themselves when they've never known love. All they've had is abuse. And they actually feel better when they're abusing themselves because at least in that part of life, they're secure in their own way of living. So they're not used to being loved from outside people. They're not used to being told good things about themselves. Because normally it's a ploy and it comes back to haunt you. And she throws it in his face. She's throwing out camouflage and pollution, wondering how he's going to react to it. She's throwing out that, and she doesn't know yet that he's the Messiah. So she's just throwing it out there. And people get used to doing that to us once they see that track in our hand, don't they? They have the scenario down. Whether we knock on their door or they come to VBS, they know how they're going to deal with us. And the main thing is have a unique way of dealing back with them through the way God wants you to deal with them. Just like our pastor says, he deals with people differently from David. David, different than you, different than somebody else. We all are unique. God made us individuals to be able to reach and work for him and be vessels of honor. It's not about trying to be like somebody else. It's trying to just be used by the Holy Spirit. And it's extremely serious because some people, unlike our Messiah, just turn them off right there and then. Yeah. I had a guy a few weeks ago really get in my face about religion. He's now coming to my garage once a week. Still going like this when I say, bow your head, shut your eyes. Do it. And he does it. But what he doesn't know is like we know, God's already going after him. The moment we met, God was going after him. Not because I'm a great Christian, but because God knows that I'm a vessel that's willing to give what we need to give. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just like with Gracie, just like with my kids. You know, I don't want them to feel pressured about being Christians. I want them to just be themselves in Christianity. That's all. But they know, especially, there's going to be times when you may put your foot in your mouth. So what? Just wipe yourself off, pick yourself up, learn from your disastrous mistake, and go on. I think what people really earn for is sincerity and love and compassion, which she's getting ready to get a taste of. Yeah, because listen, Chris tonight, I had to leave to get here by 7. And I could tell, and I told him, dude, I can only stay a few minutes. He was hoping I'd stay longer. And I told him, I said, listen now. I said, I can't stay. I said, but believe me, we'll be spending time together down the road. I gave him and his father a copy of The Man in the Mirror. His father already promised me that he was going to come. But the bottom line is I also know that my job is not to... I've got to do what I have to do. I got in the car, pray, please, Lord, speak to Chris's heart so he doesn't get wishy-washy. He's very emotional right now. He's got meds in him and that. And then you turn it over to God. Regardless of how he handles how I had to leave, that's not my job to worry about. And I didn't worry about it on the way here. Because it's in God's hands. God will deal with Chris. I have to call him. Are you okay? Did I hurt your feelings? I don't have to do that. Jesus in verse 10 says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Just skeptical, no big deal. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Man's solutions will never be adequate compared to God's solutions. It doesn't matter if it's rehab or whatever, people need Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Men in prison, men in NA, CA, GA, Gambling's Anonymous, they need Jesus Christ. We can all agree about that. I think one of the most tragic parts of this section right here is she never caught wind of what he said about the gift. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But listen to what he says. Jesus answered the sinner, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water." Smart, huh? Remember that? Give me this water. Now guess what? Your motive may, some of these kids' motive may be to come to BBS because they want to win something. Her motive could have been totally selfish. She could be thinking, "I just want some water. You do it then." She could be putting him on the spot. Let's see what this guy's made out of. God loves people like that because he loves humanity and he'll show them who he is. And do you know what? I'm telling you right now is don't feel bad when people want to test God at his word. Because I'm telling you, you can trust that test. You just have to make sure to remind them if they're lost that, listen, he may not answer it exactly like you want, but he'll answer it. But look how she goes back. She's throwing stuff out there. And I got to tell you, my wife and I, and I'll tell you a quick story. You'll like this. This is a good one. And she and I met in the foyer of a church. I saw her and I was like, "Yeah." And I saw her look at me. And I thought, "All right." Lo and behold, she showed up at church the next four nights. Now, I found out later on, she threw up. She showed up to church because she was thinking the same thing, thank God. Now, look at that. Her motive was to come to church to see me. And in the process of that, tell them, baby, what happened that Thursday night?
I got saved.
She got saved.
Amen.
Think about that. All ready for church, prior to meeting me, didn't want to come to church. It's kind of like, man, what a drag. Comes to church now because she wants to see somebody, and that, not thinking about the Lord, not thinking about anything. And Thursday night, God really got a hold of her heart and converted her soul. She went back to college on a party street, living with girls, told them what happened at a dinner in the kitchen. Some laughed and mocked at her. She found a church on her own and walked, did the right thing, and she's never turned back.
Amen.
She had more integrity than I did when I first got saved. But here's the catch is, we want to scrutinize people for coming, maybe for the wrong reasons. It's not our business. Our business is to give them the gospel.
Amen.
God will take care of the rest. And you know what's great about that? Galatians 5:1. There's liberty with thinking that way. Because they're not your concern. I'm not saying you're not going to pray for them. You're not going to care for them. But their concern, he's theirs. He's the one that's powerful. Doesn't mean you're not going to care about your children. It doesn't mean you're not going to look after them and do what you're supposed to do as a parent. But the bottom line is, let me tell you, right now is you also have to accept the fact of what I said when I looked into Gracie's eyes, that she was a little baby and she didn't even know she was looking at me. She'd just come out of her mama. And I was like, "Lord, this child is yours, not mine." And they're his children first, not mine. Now, I want to see my girls grow up, but that's his business. I want to see one of my girls get hurt or die, but it's still his business. Let's keep reading. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Go call us thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou knowest, has it not thy husband? Is that saidest thou truly?" The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our father worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem, in the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor ye in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. That's awesome. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with this woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou to her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And that's the catch. We have this isolation. We live in isolation at times due to those lies that are fed in our mind. Jesus comes in, and all of a sudden, the isolation's gone. She went from being alone and going to that well alone because of her lifestyle, because of the way she was taken up publicly, because of what was going on, probably scrutinizing her, everything that was going on about her. And now look, she met Jesus Christ. She had a relationship start with Him, and now she's running into the very town she was hiding from.
Right.
That's what God does when He intervenes in your life. It's amazing. From isolation to being the bravest one on the block.
Right.
From being the one that's shut down, hiding, living under stinking closed doors, to the one that wants to get at the top and yell out, The Messiah has come. And we can't do that for anybody else but us. I am not going to force Gracie or Lily to be me in the ministry. I can only inspire them by letting them know that God loves them and wants to use them. But that's for God to work out in their life, just like Jen's life. But the bottom line is tell me if that's not a true glimpse of the gift that God gives everybody in humanity that's willing to come. He takes away that isolation and that garbage that we feed ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm too old. I don't have enough money. Who can use me? It's all a bunch of lies.
Right. Amen.
To keep you secluded, and we can't afford it. And here's the catch. You guys need to really pray for us, because we're trying to build a unique thing here. We're not trying to overly keep certain people out of this flock. But the bottom line is it's nice to have a pastor that wants to really double check who comes in and wants to really fellowship with his flock, because there's a lot of people that come in and out of churches and they do a lot of damage,
right?
Because they live isolated and all they want to do is smear trouble.
Yes, trouble.
That's right.
And it's not right.
Amen.
I want to read you a few verses real quick on the gift of God. We all know the famous verse, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I always say it this way, For God so loved Larry. It's a great way to read it. John 4:10, we've heard it. Romans 6:23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:32, He that spareth not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We can't afford to try to overanalyze why a bus going to Gatlinburg with Christian kids on it gets in a wreck and half of them die. We live in a sin-ridden world.
Right.
It rains on the just and the unjust.
Right.
I said it again and again. Good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. It's part of it. The main thing is how you respond to it.
That's right.
That's what makes the difference. How you respond to these kids at DBS. How you respond to each other when maybe something goes wrong. Because they're watching.
Yeah, sir.
And they're going to know and see.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you just want to be real. You want to be yourself. It's one of the reasons why Tony, TK, he knows that I'm the same way in the garage as I am here. And he really enjoyed it. But the main thing is you don't do yourself anything but hurting the spirit and vexing and grieving if you try to be somebody you're not.
That's right.
Every one of us has a story, just like her story. She went and started telling him, which I really credit her. She didn't have to tell him the truth.
Right.
That's how you know somebody. That's a good sign right there. But the bottom line is she told him the truth. He didn't cut her down and throw her down.
Right.
He just dealt with her.
Yes,
and I'm telling you, I've had some people tell me things in recovery that they thought nobody would ever forgive them or understand. And you know what? When they told me, and I said, dude, that's nothing. They were like, what? I was like, I've heard way worse than that. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah, really. But to them, it was everything.
Right.
It was everything.
Yes.
One of the persons that I dealt with, and this isn't leaving their anonymity, had dealt with a situation for years in bondage of isolation. And that night they were set free. God set them free.
Amen.
You know how? Confession. He confessed to God and he confessed to a brethren, which was me, in privacy. And I did. I told him, I said, you feel better? He's like, yes. I said, I know you do. Because I know what that feels like.
Yeah, amen.
I've done it with my pastor. I've done it with my wife. My wife is my partner. I can go to her and I can tell her, listen, I made a mistake. I did this. She's like, it'll be okay. I'm like, man, I feel like a slug. But she doesn't let me continue in it either.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His what? Unspeakable gift. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's what? The gift of God. The pardon divine. Isaiah 43:25. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Your isolation wants to remind you of who you were and keep you from being who you ought to be.
Right.
We've already been seated in heavenly places. You have to believe that and be willing to throw yourself into the position God really has for you. And I'm speaking from experience because I have problems with it. I do. And then I get around people and I have people send me texts and say things that I know come from the heart that mean things that I have to believe. I have to believe. And it was hard for me because I always thought people were nice to you because they wanted something from you. And that's not the case in real Christianity, is it?
Right.
She experienced this. And as we close, I have to tell you, we can't build a church without this group. This Wednesday night group, Sunday night group, we can't do it. People that pray when they can't be here, people that are trying. We have some real earnest prayer requests tonight, didn't we? We have real issues of prayer. But I'm going to tell you right now is we have a job to do. And remember this is, don't allow anybody to duct tape you. Because I'm going to tell you something. This stuff wrapped around your wrist enough, you ain't getting free of it.
Mm-hmm.
You duct tape somebody right, they ain't getting loose. You don't need handcuffs. But you have to allow them to start. Yep. Get two or three on. You think you're okay? I'll be okay. I'll be all right. And then all of a sudden, come on up here, Gracie.
Doing good, bud. You got one shot at this.
Keep on going around. And then all of a sudden, to get your arm.
Right.
Now you got one arm. Think you're still okay. Then all of a sudden, put your other arm down. Mm-hmm. And now the other arm is stuck. Now break it off. Now take a piece and cover my mouth.
She didn't want to do that.
Now pull it off.
Pull it off.
You can pull it off. That's what Christian brotherhood and sisters are for.
Right, so.
That's what they're for. Don't mind me, Cecil. This is what Christians like you all are for. Brother Brooks, I can't untake myself. I'm having problems with depression. I'm having a hard time. Bill, I need help. Reba, I need help. Will you help me? Sure, I'll untape you.
Yes, sir.
Good, yep. Then you take that tape and you stick and get rid of it. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, thanking you for untaping us.
Yes.
For untaping me from myself. For giving me freedom of speech with your voice. For giving me a chance to use my arms for your honor and glory. Yes. My legs. For giving me a wife that knows how to pull the tape off my mouth. For a daughter that knows how to untake me. And another daughter. But Lord, I want to thank you for this church. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, as we pray tonight, Lord, help our pastor get home safe.
Yes.
Father, bring him home safe and just massively rejuvenated like I know you do. Yes. Lord, help us with Charlie Webb and others like him that have been coming, seeking a place of freedom. But yet, a place where your word is really preached by our pastor.
Yes.
Sin. Father, we love you and we thank you. But I want to thank you for this group, for what they've done in my life, for what they mean to me. And I want to thank you for my family. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you the honor and glory and praise for all you do in our lives.
Yes.
Until that day we meet you in glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Say it. Y'all stand, bow your heads, keep your eyes shut as the musicians come. If you want to come up, if you don't know the Lord Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, I would ask you to come up and tug at me while I'm praying. And we will be glad. David Dunn right here, lead you, Lord. David, any one of the men can do it. But Lord, real quick with your eyes shut and your heads down, let me just get a count of hands. Who here?